All right, everybody. Welcome back to Tech Gumbo. I am Haggai Davis III, along with Haggai Davis II, and we are here to welcome you to our show. Tech Gumbo is a conversation about the past, present, and future of all things technology that we try to keep topical, interesting, and digestible. And we also want to shout out Cardinal Capital. Cardinal Capital connects businesses to capital. Doesn't matter what business you're in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the United States that are willing to help fund organizations of all sizes, life cycles, categories, and locations. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package you need to achieve your business goals. Whether you are looking to refinance current debt to take advantage of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or you're looking to finance new equipment, acquire another business entirely, or just expand your own, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. Banks seek out Cardinal Capital to help them with loans that they cannot do. Cardinal Capital is easy and fun to work with, and they are great guys to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net. They'll be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs. All right. So every week we take a listener question. And if you have a listener question, always feel free to shoot it to us at Tech Gumbo Show on Twitter or text it to us at 225-255-0431. And this week the question is about, my device keeps hopping around different networks. How do I get it to only stay on this one network that I want?
This is a great question and one that's really easy to resolve. The first thing is, okay, what type of device? If this is a Windows device, okay, if it's a Windows 10, real quick, down there on the tool tray on the lower right, where you see the little broadcast, you click on that, and then you look at the different networks. And the one you want to stay on is the one you check connect automatically. If it's not one you want to connect to automatically, uncheck it, and then you won't just automatically bounce to it.
For Macs, you can even set the prioritization order. You can arrange your order, and I believe that iPhones has a similar setup to where you can say this is the network that I want to connect to the most. If you're in range, always pick this one, and then you can order down from there.
And the same thing with Android. If you're trying to stay on one specific network, let's say you walked over next door to your neighbor's house and your phone or your tablet grabbed that network and you came home and is still trying to hold on to your neighbor's network, just go through the unconnect, disconnect, however you want to do it, and then get back on yours and prioritize your network. That's easy enough, but it's a good question.
Absolutely. So we thank our user for that question. And we're moving into the more of the beef of this segment. And we want to talk today about Microsoft making a deal with the US Army to produce military-grade HoloLenses.
So we've talked for a long, long time about augmented reality. We did a big whole rollout on it a couple of weeks back. And now, when Microsoft is doing a $21 billion deal to provide military-grade HoloLens for the Army to take out in the field, this is what's going to really launch augmented reality.
Right. If you want a technology to get all the funding that it wants and all the development that it wants, make a deal with the Army, because the Army will sit there and they will dump money and they will dump time into you so that you can make your product rigorous, that you can throw it through the ringer, and that you will come out with a large set of powerful devices on the other end.
And then after that, then you start making it for personal use instead of military use, or business use instead of military use. And you can take a few zeros off of what you're charging for that said device. But now it's going to work and
Right.
work really well.
So the complication to this comes from the past. Microsoft employees have said that they don't want to work with the military Back in February 2019, a group of employees released an open letter saying, We did not sign up to develop weapons, and we demand a say in how our work is used. And so, you know, given that the Microsoft employees and a lot of Silicon Valley's employees in general have expressed, you know, concerns and frustrations about working with the military, you know, it'd be curious to see how does this progress? Are they able to continue to, you know, dictate how their work is used, or does Microsoft say, no, this has too many zeros attached to it, we're going to do this?
And Satya Nadella, the CEO, has come out and said, hey, look, you know, this is, you know, we made a deal in principle that, you know, we're not developing weapons. We're developing our technology for them to, for the military to use. So the HoloLens is not going to go launch, rockets from drones or anything. But I can imagine where if you're that army, you know, platoon going around the mountain, up in the mountains of Afghanistan or across the desert, and there's some drones overhead, they're looking down, they're highlighting where the enemy is. Okay. I mean, you know, I can see that. I mean, they've already got that technology now in a tablet in front of them instead of having it in a heads up lens. So you're making it an easier technology that already exists.
Right. And it's, you know, you're getting closer to Call of Duty at that point in time. Now that you have the heads up display in front of you, you have all these, you know, pieces of technology working together, that augmented reality, it's a very powerful tool. And the Microsoft defense is, you know, we're doing this to help protect our freedoms, help protect our democracy. And so that's an interesting argument. And so it's a complicated question, but as of right now, it is moving forwards.
And so, you know, like you said, if you want anything to really work, run it through the military ringer first. And I like the idea. I hope that they really do a lot with it. So that speeds up getting it back out into the mainstream of business and personal use. So I'm excited about it. We'll see how it plays out, though, because employees do have a way of speaking out and making an impact.
So moving along to another company that has an interesting history, Facebook is rolling out a new feature. They've had the profiles, the banner that you can put around on your profile picture. And this one says, you know, let's get vaccinated, or I got my COVID-19 vaccine, things like that, trying to spread vaccine awareness.
Yeah, so if you're, then there's been a bunch of pages where you can post, I got my vaccine pictures kind of thing, and to encourage more people to get this COVID vaccine to help get us out of this pandemic whenever we can. This is just another one of their ways of saying, you know, I did it, so you can too.
I wonder about the effectiveness of this as a communication tool. You know, I saw a study recently that 40% of Republicans in the state of Louisiana said they were not going to get the vaccine. You know, if I'm one of those people, does seeing my friend on Facebook put their banner around their profile picture, does that change my mind? Probably not. You know, it feels good to do it, but I'm uncertain about its actual impact.
If it starts the conversation a little bit, and maybe if 40% of the people say they don't want it, and because of that conversation, you get it to 37%. If you can pick up 3% more, okay, I'm good. And so this is not going to ever get 100% of the people to hold out their shoulder and take their arm, take their shots. I hope they do. I have now been vaccinated. I have had both shots, and I'm very excited about it. I put my picture out there on Facebook with my picture. I certainly am encouraging everybody to get this vaccine. The sooner everyone gets vaccinated, the sooner we can stop having to run around with masks on our face all day.
And the sooner the whole argument goes away. If everyone gets vaccinated, we just don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yes. So Tech Gumbo highly endorses the vaccine. Now, Facebook has also been spying on you, whether you know it or not. If you've been listening to the show, you know that they are. Spying may not be the real right word to use there, but Facebook has been watching everything you've been doing and taking note and learning everything you've been doing, which is another way of saying spying, I guess.
Yeah, with or without your knowledge.
And so there are tools available from Facebook that can help give you some anonymity.
Such as?
Well, one of the ways is when you go to the off Facebook activity tool, and you know, this activity tool is a way to stop the tracking, and you can give some feedback, you can give them the idea of why you don't want to be tracked, and then you can start having some control managing your past and future activities, and you can download the off Facebook activity to where you can edit, or you can have at least a copy of your digital information.
Right. So the whole point of the off Facebook means that Facebook has not just been watching what you're doing on Facebook.com. It's also been watching whenever you click a link on Facebook and you go to WBRZ or you go to ESPN or you go to someplace like that. Facebook's also watching that data too. And maybe even watching how much time you spend on WBRG or how much time you spend on ESPN. And so this allows you to say, no, Facebook, you only get to spy on me whenever I'm on Facebook.com. And so, Yes. Okay, that is definitely better. It's still not great, but it is better.
You know, again, you know, we talked about it in the previous segment that the EU's GDPR, the California Data Protection Rights, these types of laws are coming. And this is just another way of trying to stay a half step ahead of these coming laws that are going to change things dramatically the way things are done here in the U.S.
Right. You will also be able to set up two-factor authentication, which we recommend for pretty much everything everywhere that you can. It's always better to just have that second layer because passwords get compromised all the time. And so if you can just have something else, another layer, that is always great. You can also turn off Facebook's facial recognition. If you don't want Facebook sitting there, you know, scanning your faces and then popping a picture and saying, hey, is this you? And you being like, yes, it is me, but that picture's 8 years old. That's kind of creepy, Facebook. You know, you can turn off that feature.
Something else Facebook is doing is they're giving you actually more control over your news feed. They're trying to, you know, work with these algorithms of theirs to say, this is what I want to see. This is, you know, I want to see more of these people. I want to see less of those folks. I don't want to see, you know, these type of ads. I do want to, you know, I'm okay with that. So they're giving you some, again, more control in a way of just trying to keep people on their platform.
I think this very much comes out of the conversation similarly to what Australia was doing, what they were doing with Australia, that Facebook was trying to build a news feed so that, you know, it's no longer just the place where people post, you know, pictures of their kids or pictures of their food. But it's now your main source of news. And I think Facebook is trying to become an aggregator. They're trying to replace the Drudge Report. They're trying to replace Reddit. They want to be your one-stop shop for everything.
And, you know, I think that's a good play for Facebook to get into the idea that me as a user can say, why am I seeing this? Give me a reason why I'm seeing this. If I don't want to see that anymore, then don't show it to me.
Right. I think it's, you know, it is valuable to be having this conversation about what are the types of things that we want to show users? What are the types of things users want to see? What are the types of things that maybe users want to see but for a bad reason. If you are someone who, you know, are engaging in a lot of content that makes you angry, but someone's like, hey, like, do you want to keep seeing this content that is making you angry? If you phrase that question slightly differently, people will say yes. Even, you know, their blood pressure is up, they are paranoid about everything, and they hate the world, you know, is that something that they actually want to be seeing? And so those are complicated questions.
Right. So the next big story we want to talk about is President Biden has rolled out, as part of this multi-trillion dollar investment plan, he's trying to create more internet capabilities, more internet access, more broadband internet access for more people, especially people out in the rural areas.
So the idea here is not to necessarily build a federal infrastructure, but to empower local municipals and nonprofits to be their own ISPs, similar to what Lafayette has with the LUS system.
And this is good in a way, but not so good in a way. I mean, I appreciate the effort to get more people internet access. And, you know, if my tax dollars are going to go to help get more people internet access, great. If that's, but I mean, is my tax dollars going to help them watch Netflix or going to help them learn and do better things?
Well, I think that's not even quite the right way to view it. It's less, am I going to make sure, you know, that, you know, one parish in Louisiana that's way off, you know, south of the Sabine. Okay, that is a portion of this bill, but I think the bigger takeaway here is the ability for municipalities to create their own ISPs by removing barriers in place and restrictions in place and allowing for the potential of competition. Right now, Cox is, you know, basically the only provider in Baton Rouge, whereas in Lafayette, they have a competitor with the city. And so if you can now make it easier for cities to start their own and have internet be a utility, now all of a sudden you see prices come down in places where municipalities start their own ISPs. You see quality of service go up. And so that is something that I think is much more directly palatable, as opposed to, does every single American have access to high-speed internet?
And I like the idea of people having access to the internet. And there is a lot of people who will argue that access to the internet has become equal to electricity, to have running water. It's a utility at this point. And I get that, but you still have to pay for that utility. Somebody had to pay to have that infrastructure built out. That, so when you're, if it costs $27,000 a mile on average, $27,000 a mile to run fiber anywhere. So if you're 4 miles outside of town and there's only, like, say, a small subdivision of 100 houses that are 4 miles away from anything else, that's $100,000 just to get internet to that neighborhood.
Right. But again, I don't think that the true aim of this plan is to make sure every single American has access to high-speed internet. I think that it is to increase the number of Americans with high-speed internet. But I don't think if you were to talk to anybody that they would tell you that the goal is actually to be at 100.0%. They would say, you know, if we're at 90, maybe push it to 95. If we're at 95, maybe push it to 99. But yeah, I agree that because of the, you know, large amount of area that our country covers and the low density in a lot of places, if I'm on a farm in Montana and I'm the only person for 100 miles, yeah, it doesn't really make sense to roll fiber out to me. And that person out there might not want fiber rolled out to them. And so again, I think that it's there definitely is an equilibrium point here, and I think it's that will be part of this process.
And if there's certain parts of town where there is not current good infrastructure run, and just because it's a economically disadvantaged part of town where companies have not wanted to invest money, okay, great. Then that's a good use of this. I want to see more details as to where they're really wanting to put this infrastructure that the infrastructure doesn't already exist.
Oh, I agree. I think we can think of this in a lot of ways like roads. You know, if there's a part of town that just doesn't have a whole lot of roads, it doesn't have good roads, and you go out and you make it easier to get there, you get to and from there, people will want to live there. They'll want to have a business there. But, you know, am I going to build, you know, a freeway out to the middle of nowhere? Well, no, I'm not, because there's just not demand for it. So I think that's a useful way to think about this. But I agree, I'll be curious to see more details about this plan as it comes out. If you enjoyed our show, we are here today on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. And the show reruns Sundays also at 4. If you missed any part of the show today or you'd like to go back and hear previous episodes, you can check out our podcast available on almost every platform, including TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, and more.
And if you like our show, if you have some suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and we're on Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. You can always text the show 225-255-0431. And when you find us on Twitter, give us a follow. When you find us on Facebook, give us a like. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.